As noon drew near, we launched into a version of the Hylaean anthem that Archibald had chosen for what he called its temporal elasticity, meaning that if the clock malfunctioned, we'd be able to cover it up. But at some point, I have no idea whether it was even close to true solar noon, I saw Jessery spring up out of his clock hovel, fling his goggles aside, and take off toward us at a run. I could tell by his gait that the news was good. The trigger line was getting noticeably tighter. I looked over at Yule, who was under the tripod, and drew my thumb across my throat. He grabbed Barb in a bear hug and jerked him back to safety. A moment later, a mechanism snapped, and the stone dropped into its place with a thud that we all felt in our ankles. There was applause and cheering, which I didn't really get to take part in since Archibald, presiding at a lectern and leading the anthem, was staring into my eyes and jerking his head in the direction of a tent a short ways up the hill. "Okay," I mouthed, and obeyed. Yule reached the tent a few moments after I did. He helped me change into a fancy Tredegar-style bolt, while I helped him put on a formal going-to-arc suit. And both of us proved so incompetent at our respective tasks that these preparations outlasted the aught and led to audible restlessness and rude comments from the crowd milling around just on the other side of the canvas. Emin Beldo had to tear himself away from bothering Suer Carvel, come into the tent, and intervene on Yule's behalf. Meanwhile, my overwraps were pleated and fixed into place by, of all people, Fra Lodegear, who had showed up probably to make sure that Sant Orlo's would include an influential Prokian faculty. Yule and I dithered and swapped after ewes at the threshold, which was obviated when the threshold ceased to exist. Leo and some of the Veilers had lost patience, cut the tent's guy ropes, and swept it off over our heads like unveiling a couple of statues. And as a matter of fact, statues is probably what we acted like when we caught sight of Ayla and Cord, who had done a much better job of getting dressed. I'd expected that my bride would be garlanded with star blossom and other invasive species, but I understood now that Quinn's fetch had been loaded with proper flowers, raised in faraway fields and hothouses. The aunt was a little complicated, since I had to give away Yule's bride, but it had all been worked out by better minds. Cord and Yule were joined in matrimony by Magister Sark, who pulled it off pretty well, considering he'd been up until 3 a.m. in dialogue with Archibald over bottles of wine. He used the occasion to uncork one of his amazing, exasperating sermons, filled with wisdom and upside and human truths, fettered to a cosmographical scheme that had been blown out of the water 4,000 years ago. When Sark's part of the ceremony was complete, I, seconded by Jezri, and Ayla, backed up by Tullia, came together in the presence of Fra Paflagon, and to the accompaniment of a joyous song and the distant rumble of Ma Cartis rolling over in her Chalcedony sarcophagus, joined ourselves together in a paralithian liaison.